You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
I think it's our fourth straight year that our insiders have told us there's going to be massive activity at the draft. Massive. Would you consider that massive?
Well, Friday was feathers. Saturday, I think there was some...
Saturday, there were moves.
There were some moves.
Some big names.
Yes.
JT Miller got traded and P.K. Subban went to the New Jersey.
And yeah, Patrick Marleau. That's a big deal.
Like, that's a big deal, yeah.
But Friday night, I'm hesitant to say this, although I've already tweeted it, because it should be about the kids. You know, it's about the prospects.
You're right. It's the first rounders. That's basically what it should be about.
It should be about Jack Hughes and Capo Caco and all these different kids. But the fact of the matter is that was one of the worst drafts for entertainment value I've ever experienced from any league. What? It was as boring of a production as I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Because nothing happened.
And by the way, you're not insulting the production.
No, it's not just about those guys or anything. What I'm saying is nothing happened. And
Nothing.
There were no rumors. There was no, hey, something's really shaking down here on the draft floor.
I think
nothing.
There was one trade for a pick. I think somebody traded up to pick the goalie.
Florida picked the
goalie. Yeah, Florida traded up to pick the goalie. That's what it was.
Yeah, that was about it.
Moved from 11 to, or 14 to 11 and
it was
gave
one
it.
Trade.
But I kept waiting that night for Gary Bettman to go, we got something here.
And we have a trade to announce.
There was nothing. But Saturday got cooking before the draft was on. That's when the Marleau trade came out. You were hearing rumblings of the PK, like, you know, him going. You knew he was on the move, or you felt like he was on the move. Were the Leafs in on it? Sounded like they were, but they weren't going to eat $9 million a year for him. And Ray Shero said, I'll take $9 million, and I'll take you.
Well, New Jersey was, like, they were the prom kings. You know, they walk out with the first overall pick. And P.K. Subban.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good weekend
for
them.
Somebody tweeted the other night and said Ray Shero basically has traded Adam Larson. I think there was picks, everything laid out. For Taylor Hall and P.K. Subban, Ray Shero has given up this. And it was pretty thin.
I give the guy credit, man. He's tried to make his team better, and he has done a pretty solid job. He lucked out. I mean, he's got two lottery picks, but...
But that's, you get two lottery picks and you get Taylor Hall and P.K. Subban. You know, they're going to have to sort out their goaltending situation. Like, I think Schneider showed some signs of life right at the end of the year. He'd gone a calendar year without a win. And I almost thought that he was going to make it through the season where a team could resurrect him. But I think New Jersey's like, he's back on track. Like, they down the stretch in that last month and a half. Like, after that surgery, Pekka Rinne took like 18 months to get going. And I think Schneider has come out of the woods. But, like, that's, you look
anyway,
at that.
Anyway, as Brian would say, the hell with New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
They're an interesting team now. Wherever PK plays, people are going to pay attention. So if Subban's playing, you know, people are going to pay attention. I think it's interesting that they get a first overall pick and he's not the most marketable player they received over the weekend. Like, if I'm running the marketing campaign and right. I can put one player's face up on the billboard outside the rink, it's not Jack Hughes' face.
Right.
I'm putting Subban's face up.
But
fans know who PK is.
But
a lot of fans don't know who
Jack
Hughes is.
Especially when you don't know where Taylor Hall's going to go.
But here's...
Well, yeah, he's got 1 year
left
on his deal.
Here's a question for you, though. I think the Swamp could be the best case scenario for PK Subban. He gets to just focus on hockey.
It won't happen like that.
I think it will.
Do you know the New Jersey situation, like where guys live or whatever?
Well, I think it's the Hoboken area, which is actually, I enjoy it. When I call games there, you can see New York City. You're right across the water.
It's a 5-iron from New York.
Yeah, legitimately.
He is going to be pimped out in New York City with a luxurious penthouse.
Which would be fine.
It's going to be all New York. He'll be like, hey, fans of New York, actually, sorry, New Jersey. Like, he will dial that up.
Which is fine, but I don't know, and I guess getting back to my point is, I don't know if people will, like, if that market for lack of better words, has a big enough following.
No, they
where,
don't.
Well, exactly.
That's the truth. I know people are like, you're always taking runs at them. They're the third most popular team in the market.
Right.
Like, that's who New Jersey is. Scott Niedermeyer played almost his whole career there. Marty Brodeur.
Yeah.
If they didn't play for Team Canada, I don't know what their
well, winning
superstar
helps.
Would be.
Winning
they
helps.
Won cups and all that, yes.
But
terms
right.
of marketability, you know, Subban is just on a platter for him. Now, Jack Hughes, as a first overall pick, if he comes out of the gate flying and wins Rookie of the Year, that's a different conversation. But I think Jersey, you got to give him full credit with what they achieved over the weekend.
Yeah.
As for the Maple Leafs, you know, people, I think it's been pretty much accepted that this Marleau trade, there can be two things can be true here. You had to do it, but it's obviously a disaster. Like, you had to do it because you didn't want to lose Kapanen and
right,
or Janssen.
Right.
You don't have cap room, but you had to hand over a first-round pick for
right.
1 year's worth of cap relief.
But
that's a disaster.
If you think the Maple Leafs and their window is right now, the LA Kings, the Chicago Blackhawks, for the most part, their first-round picks every year were...
Yeah,
but and I know they haven't won a round, but they're in the now. So
that's I think where you're leaning.
They haven't won a round, but they're in the now. They're trying
they
to
are.
Win
you're
now.
Right. That's
so.
Why I'm not saying you don't do the move. You have to do the move.
It was a must.
You have to. You're up against it. Patrick Marleau had to go. Period. End of story. You had to pay a price. You knew you were going to have to pay a price. And I'd much prefer to pay a first rounder than
but that was the cost of doing business for that for
right.
that transaction.
But that doesn't mean it's not a disaster. It's a disaster. You just handed over a first-round pick. And I'm not saying Dubas is putting forth this mentality.
It's a disaster if the pick turns into Pavel Datsyuk or somebody.
Well, but or that pick could have been used at the trade deadline for the next Jake Muzzin. They're out of that game now.
Right.
Unless you want to give the 2022 pick or whatever.
Right.
Like, draft schmaft is what put this team in a decade worth of just black clouds.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, so you got to be careful with the draft map. It's 25th overall. Who cares? That's not the mentality you want to have.
No, you want to have draft picks, and you want to have the cupboards stocked.
You have to.
You
cheap
do.
Quality talent is
you
going
do.
To be needed.
And it was a must. It was a necessity. Brian, you and I, we were talking about it. All of us were talking last week. If Patrick Marleau said, I'm playing here next year, what do you do? Well, it worked out. If you're a Leaf fan, I mean, you can argue till you're blue in the face about a first rounder going out the door. Absolutely. But it was a necessity that Kyle Dubas had to do to get cap relief. And that's where I can see the frustration in you, Brian, saying, like, this is a team that hasn't won a playoff round yet, and you're pressed up against the cap, and you're having to throw first rounders out the window to make somebody disappear.
Right.
That's where you use the word disaster.
I'm not saying you don't do it.
No, it had
I'm
to be done.
I'm not saying that Kyle Dubas did anything wrong here.
Right.
But just because you had to do it doesn't mean you have to close your eyes on the truth.
Yeah.
That's a disaster. To open up
doesn't
cap space to hand over another first-round pick, like, again, totally different context.
Right.
Totally different context. Tampa Bay had a salary dump this weekend as well.
Yeah.
They got a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Jimmy Benning said, here's a first-round pick. We'll take on your salary dump. Now, JT Miller's 26, really good player.
Yeah, 20-goal guy. Yeah.
Patrick Marleau's 40. I understand context is totally different.
Correct, yeah.
Totally different. But the Leafs' salary dump, we are paying a first-round pick. Tampa's salary dump, we'll take a first
they
pick.
They get it back, and they get to sign Braden Point and Vasilevskiy.
Exactly. And everything's
and
easy for everyone down in Tampa.
And Ryan Callahan.
Ryan Callahan, you're out of here. There's $14 million in cap space, or $11
million. Yeah, you're right.
You got something wrong with him. He can never play again.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
And that's
how come Patrick Marleau couldn't say I had something wrong with me?
Is he going to play next
never
year?
Play.
He's playing.
He's playing. He'll. I mean,
I love this charade down in Carolina. We're going to talk to him. We really want him to stick around. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably going to go, no, thank you. And they'll go,
why don't
okay,
you
here's
fly out to San Jose and go on the pool overlooking the ocean and try to talk to the family and say, we really want you in Carolina to play next year.
Now, if he was an avid golfer, that's the thing. Carolina's got great courses, right? Isn't that known for?
Oh, so what? San Jose, there's no golf courses?
Pebble Beach is 20 minutes from this guy's house
you're
in San
right.
Jose.
There lives on, listen, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even
imagine that. He actually lived on Pebble, and you try to go down there to convince him to get great golf.
You come down, you bring down the pro from Pinehurst, too.
He's at Jim Nance's house in his backyard hitting in a little par three.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's no arguing that.
No, he wouldn't have accepted the deal if he didn't know Carolina was buying
exactly. But, Don Waddell's got to play the game, too. Like, he's not going to be like, oh, you know what? We acquired this asset to buy him out. Yeah. Like, now we'll try and talk him into playing. They actually don't want the $6 million on their cap. They've got to spend some money,
But I'm
too.
A little bit surprised that the owner in Carolina is willing to pay that money. Because he's got to pay the real money, whatever it is, $4 million or whatever, to buy out Patrick Marleau.
Yeah.
So $4 million for a first-round pick. There's not a lot. Like, I'm surprised that owner of all owners is like, I will place a premium on a first-round pick.
Are you 100% sure that the real money?
I think
I'll look the contract up. I think it was pretty heavy up front, so I don't know. But let me.
I thought it was like 125 or something.
No, that's after the bonus. He's got a bonus on July 1, I believe, that's like 1.5 or 2 million, then another one in November or something.
Yeah, you're right. We were doing that the other day.
I think it's upwards of 4.25 real money that they're going to have to pay for that first round pick. So anyway, again, I'm not harping on the Leafs or anything. This is the reality of their situation. They had to do it.
Yes.
And I think the positive that came out of the weekend is they got really good contracts signed with Kapanen and Janssen.
Yeah.
I think both of them are very good deals. They're team friendly deals.
Good bridge deals that, they buy yourself some time for this group to try and win.
And more importantly, it takes them out of the offer sheet game, because I think that was the real threat. That's what became somewhat definitive to me over the weekend. I don't think they're worried about this Mitch Marner song and dance, but I think they probably were worried about Kapanen.
Maybe in the back of their mind, like, hey, if Kapanen, somebody gives him 5 at 5, and
we're
in
big trouble.
Yeah, we've got to.
That's why I think they knew we got to chip away. And I credit the players, because the players could have said, no, we'll wait. The players decided we wanted to be in Toronto. Let's work out a deal that's fair. And that's what they did.
So Marleau's real money is 4.25. At July 1st, he's owed $1.5 million. And December 15th, he's owed $1.5 million. And his base salary is 1.25. So they're paying 4.25 for a first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
And but the buyout on that. So the buyout, I don't know about bonuses and that, because
the bonus, you're paying that in full.
Okay, so $3 million.
I think because it's over 35, you're paying the full thing.
Exactly, you're right. So
they're paying 4.25 for a first round pick.
Yeah.
They will likely be in the 20s. Yeah. I give them credit. Like, it's good business if you're willing to spend the money.
Yeah.
I just didn't picture that owner in Carolina being willing to do it, but
they did. Proactive. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that. You know, I guess what also came out of the weekend is Mitch Marner is still not signed, and the RFA
window
opens up Wednesday.
12:01 on the 26th, so.
We'll see.
I believe that there's going to be teams that are going to call. Obviously, like, you got to do your business, you're going to call. But I don't think he's going, like, he's got the airplane fired up for Wednesday, going to visit.
Well, let me ask you then.
Where are you
what
going to
team
visit?
Would be attractive for him that has space, that has first-rounders, and that could say, here's something that would make the Leafs flinch? Like, who has $12.5 million and is desirable? That's, I guess that would be my question. And has the draft picks, and that he would fly out to see them and be willing to sign an offer sheet in the event that the Leafs don't want to do it.
I've been trying to think of teams.
Would it be the Florida Panthers have money?
Florida's got money.
Now, by all accounts, they're going to be spending a bunch of it on Bobrovsky and or
Panarin. But, Jamie, if it was you, like, you've been in the league for three. Do you need to fly down there and see Fort Lauderdale?
No, I think what you do is you
any fly. Other team. Do you need to fly any?
But
you
it's
know
not,
what everything
but it's
is.
Not even that. I think it's being in a room with management there and them doing the pitch. It's not even about, like, hey, here's you're going to live in Las Olas. It's like, here's a contract, and this is what it's going to look like. I believe you can't actually talk hard numbers. I believe it's kind of like, this is what we're thinking or whatever.
I think they're probably going to look past that.
I know, but I think face-to-face, I don't know how many times you think about it, if it's easy over the phone to have these conversations. When you're sitting in a room with somebody, it may change the dynamic. I got a buddy who accepted a job, actually told the owner and said, I can't do it. It's not the right. He goes, fly out to see me face to face and tell me no. And he flew out to meet him, ended up signing with him. Like, sometimes it happens, that personal relationship. I don't know. I'm not suggesting Marner's going to do it. I mean,
there's a couple of things to consider here. I've been trying to figure out which team that might be. You know, I look at a team like Colorado, maybe. You know, now they're loaded with young players and prospects and picks. Maybe they'd be willing to give up four first-rounders. Apparently, they're in on Panarin. If they swing and miss, they got money. If it's not Panarin, Mitch Marner makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Maybe Colorado. Maybe Florida. Carolina, again, I don't see them spending the money. I just don't.
They are not spending that money, trust me.
No, I don't see it.
They are not doing it.
But
the New York Rangers, like the New York Islanders, I don't know.
But he has to, like, we've been saying this all along, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but, like, he has to be willing to sign that, too.
Well,
he has to be willing to go.
But they also have to be willing to hand it out. And that's another thing. Like, I know the Islanders keep coming up. Do you really believe Lou Lamoriello, of all the GMs in the league, Mr. Lou Lamoriello,
yeah,
commissioner's favorite GM, closest GM in the league with the commissioner's office,
yeah,
Mr. Team First, players not even second, players somewhere in the dozens, is going to rattle the cage of the National Hockey League with an offer sheet? I don't see it. I don't see Lou Lamoriello, of all guys, doing it. I don't. So I don't see that being an option. Some people have floated out Detroit. You think Steve Yzerman, A, is going to do that to Brendan Shanahan? B, wants to start a rebuild? He's been on the job for a month and hand over four first-round picks?
Yeah.
I don't see it happening.
I don't think the relationship with Brendan Shanahan would have anything to do with it, but I don't think Steve Yzerman, whose team, who understands, and he in Tampa Bay, as much as they've had smart signings, a lot of draft picks have hit for them.
Yeah,
they don't want to be tossing around four first-round draft
picks. They've quote-unquote done it the right way.
Well, I'm really just fascinated how it's just all of these players that are so quality, Matthew Tkachuk and Rantanen out in Colorado, none of these guys are rumored to be going anywhere.
Braden Point.
Like,
Charlie McAvoy.
The only guy that's rumored to be going on these trips is Mitch Marner. That's it.
Well, and here's
am I crazy or is what?
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. There's a lot of smoke screen out there. I'll believe it when I actually see it.
Braden Point could have been up for the MVP this year. He's not going on these little toots around.
Well, maybe he wants to stay in Tampa.
Maybe.
Like, that's another thing.
That's where you get down to. You offer a contract and you get to a certain point. Do you want to be here? Okay. Is this the fit for you? If you really want to go toot around here, then go ahead and do it.
Let me post something here just to think about, too. Who's Braden Point's representative? Because it seems to me that Mitch Marner's camp is quite loud. They're not shy to be loud.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. You're allowed to conduct business. But I believe it's Darren Ferris, correct?
Yeah, that's his agent. Yeah.
That's his agent. So he's allowed to, you know, conduct business any which way. But I don't know if Point is represented by Newport. Newport doesn't do that. I don't remember the last time. Like, Newport sets up shop. David Clarkson, Richards, you know, all of those guys set up shop. Gino's out there in the parking lot at Newport. But that's the only one that all of these guys could be having these conversations behind closed doors, behind the scenes. This one just seems louder.
Well, I don't buy that Mitch Marner's getting on a flight and flying over all over North America. I just don't. But
people are calling, though.
They're allowed to call.
Go ahead, call. It's a CBA.
But here's the most important point that hasn't been brought up by anybody.
Yeah.
My read on the situation in Toronto is Mitch Marner, the only thing he's focused on, the only thing, is Austin Matthews. That doesn't apply anywhere else. You can't call up Lou Lamoriello. Let's say in a perfect world for Mitch Marner, Lou's like, I'm interested. And Lou calls him up and goes, so are we. And Mitch goes, well, Austin Matthews got that. Lou goes, excuse me, Austin Matthews doesn't play here.
Right.
Nikita Kucherov just won the Hart and the Ted Lindsay. He got 8 years at 9.5. We'll give you 8 years at 9 because you're not as good of a player. Well, what about Austin Matthews? I don't care. He's not my guy.
Yeah.
The only place the Austin Matthews comparison works is in Toronto.
Correct.
You can't fly to Denver and say, well, Austin Matthews. They'll say, how about Nate McKinnon?
He's 6'3". Yeah.
So
you're right.
This whole Austin Matthews fascination, which I get and I understand, is solely focused on Toronto. It does not apply anywhere else.
Nowhere else.
No one cares about what Austin Matthews makes anywhere else.
Outside this market.
Outside of Toronto.
Because that's Toronto's I guess, step ladder.
The second you take him out of Toronto in the comparison with Matthews, you look at real comparables.
But wouldn't you
like
say,
Nikita Kucherov?
But that's what Bobby Mack said on our show last week. He
exactly.
goes, Rantanen could sign for $7 million, and Marner's camp will go, so what?
Which is fine.
Doesn't apply to us.
What would you say? Like, wouldn't you say there's like at least four different comparables in different situations? Like, there's a McKinnon who's at. There's yeah. McKinnon, there's a Scheifele, there's a Kucherov, and then there's a Matthews, and then there's like four or five, right? Where you could say, this is kind of what we think, and then somebody could say, not even close. So there's no sense, like, there's just a fit where if the kid's happy and he's going to make a bunch of money, you make an offer that's more than reasonable, which you would have to think Toronto has not done yet. I mean, they would have to say, do you want this? Make a fit, and if the kid's happy in Toronto,
I'm sure they
you
have.
You can do whatever comparable you want, and there's one where me and you could both say, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the
Nathan McKinnon is a great example. Kucherov's a great example. And then you go to Matthews, and then you go to people on your own team. It's right. If it fits for you to play in that city, and I can make a great living and do whatever, then there's a fit. But if you don't want to find that, you're never going to find it.
But we can do the what-if game all day. Like, you can say, okay, McKinnon signed a couple years ago.
I know, but he just said it. If you're stuck on the Matthews contract or anybody else's, you're going to go to another team. Well, we have our own guy that makes this. They're not going to pay you that.
That's what I'm saying. The only way.
And if you really think that another team is going to blow their doors off and blow their cap off.
Why would you do that? Like, we all love Mitch Marner as a player. He's a great player. But no one's going to say, here's $13 million so we can get you. Like, why would you do that? How do you explain that to your owner? We just made this guy the highest paid player in the league. He's a very good player. He's not the best player in the league.
No.
So, you know, it's...
I you're right.
It makes us sound like we're ripping into Marner. We're not.
I still wholeheartedly believe there will be an offer sheet, but I've said this all along. I don't think it's Marner. I don't think it's in Toronto.
I don't believe it is either.
It could be Aho. It could be, you know,
He just said it. You're not going to go to your owner and say, we're going to make this guy who's never played one game for our team the highest paid player in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
More than Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
No, it's just not happening. And, you know, an example of both sides working it out applied over the weekend. And that's William Carlson in Vegas.
I was just going to say, 5-9 for a guy who scored 43 two
unbelievable
years ago,
deal.
And 28
but
last
you know
year.
Why? He said, I really want to be here.
Yeah.
So they said, all right, what's it going to take? He said, I want the 8 years.
Yeah.
Okay, you get something, we get something.
Yeah.
Seems very reasonable.
Yeah.
Seems to happen in a lot of places in the league.
Yeah. You're right.
For some reason, it can't happen here.
I know.
But like, it seems to happen in a lot of different places.
It was, like, I saw that deal, and I took a picture.
It's an unbelievable deal.
Well, it's a great deal.
Now, he's a really good player.
He is. And you know, he had 56 points last year, but he had 78 points the year before. 24 goals last year, but 43 the year before. Let's say he's a 25-goal scorer. He's making $5.9 million.
Mm-hmm. He could have went sniffing around, too, and said, you know what? I'm holding on to that 40-something goal season, and I'm just going to...
Dude, he could have gone, again, within his own team and said, you just gave Stastny 7.
Mark Stone, 9.5.
Mark Stone got 9.5. I'll take 9.6 so that I'm the highest. Because I'm the guy who's been here grinding.
Yeah.
Got you to a cup final. And was the, you know, one of your stars with Stone and others who should have gotten you through to the second round if the refs didn't pull off a phantom call. And he said, no, that's good. I just want term. I want to be
8 years.
5-9.
Works
done.
Up to about $50 million, just under.
Yeah. Pretty reasonable. I think he's probably pretty happy today.
You're right. Like,
that's where we're at.
But every player, every camp is different. Some guys will bet on themselves. Some guys will, like, other guys like security. Like, it just... I remember Jerome McGinley telling me, I don't even know if he signed longer than 3 years every time he signed. Like, yeah, just bet on myself, keep going, and that's it.
Well, there's betting on yourself, and I'm sure there was probably an offer the last year, but if you're just fixated on a certain number and you have to be that or you have to get paid that, then ultimately I think you find yourself, I don't know, being traded or whatever, if you're just fixated on that number. Because if they went to Vegas, and I know Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee, if they said, I got to make more than Stone, they would have said, give me your list or whatever, because you're moving out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they would operate.
Well, those are the – taking the offer sheet out of it with Marner, there's, I think, four options here. The Leafs hold strong, and Marner says, okay, I'll take it. Marner holds strong, and the Leafs say, okay, we'll give it to you. They meet somewhere in the middle, which is probably what should happen, or they trade him. Like, that's what it's going to come down to.
And the scary part is it could take time.
It might, but they can't do what they did with Nylander because they don't have the cap for the, you know, $15 million cap hit this year that goes down to 9.7 in the years forward. So they can't play that game again. They could this year. They can't do it next year. Dave Pullen will be in studio at 5. Darren Dreger in studio later in the afternoon. Our Kells were playing at Budweiser stage over the weekend.
Yeah, we got some tweets.
Well, they scooped our guy, basically. They mowed our lawn. We were supposed to get
Nick
Nurse.
He's not coming
in here,
is he?
Well, why would he come in and play the guitar with us when he can go and play with our Kells at Budweiser stage? So
he
Max
looked a little
Kerman
nervous, too.
He was shook, you could tell, because that's you're out of your element there.
You're
not
playing with professionals.
Out of a timeout.
Like you're playing with professionals.
And a crowd of, you're talking 15,000 people, and it was hopping.
Yeah.
So Max Kerman will join us, and we'll get his take on how this deal was brokered and what it was like having Nick Nurse up there on stage. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You think the coach, like, called the band and said, hey, like, can I wheel on there? Or he was there, and they said, hey, you want to do it? Or
yeah, but the band.
I mean, we asked the guy. There's just feathers.
But they're professionals. They have to figure out if he can actually, if he gets up there, and they turn his guitar on, and he's clanking it around.
Yeah, there had to be a rehearsal, I would assume. Can't just or let some guy come up. I mean, this is Budweiser stage. It's not like they're playing.
I believe they played Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
Like, yeah, they did.
It's a tough song. Like, it's
right,
not like.
But it's also a track that's been around for a long time. Like, they could have really thrown it for a loop and been like, you know, let's play something impossible, and you're the lead guitarist.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they put it on a tee for him, but. They had to. Their engineer must have had his finger on the mute button if things would have gone sideways.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
I would assume so. So our Kells were playing at Budweiser stage over the weekend. I'm sure you've found, if you're on Instagram at all, you know someone that was there. I knew like 12 different people basically posting stories of the whole night.
Sold out.
Like at some point, just enjoy the band. You don't have to show us the whole concert.
I think
concert,
you should ask him about it because they look out into the stands. All they see is people phone now.
Well, here's what happened about halfway through the concert.
Give it up for the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, Nick Nurse.
All right, here's Max Kerman, frontman for our Kells. How did you broker this deal, Max?
Hey, fellas. Yeah, a few months ago, a friend of mine at MLSC reached out because Nick's assistant, Jenny, put a call out to see if anybody could help her find a piano for his office. So they reached out to our camp, and we know some people at Roland, and we connected the dots, and they seemed to be really happy about that. So after the boys won the championship, I just shot Jenny a note, and I said, you know, we have the show on the weekend. And if he wants to hop up for a song or just wants to be a guest at the show, we'd love to have him out. And I wasn't really thinking much of it. Like, I assumed, you know, he'd be off on a scouting mission or, you know, on vacation somewhere. But she got right back and said, oh, he's going to be blown away by this offer. And let me check the schedule. And within a few days, he was learning Signed, Sealed, Delivered. He was practicing up for his big debut.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, before you brought this guy out there, you had to figure out what he brought to the table. I mean, people love to think they know how to play the guitar and they're a guitar guy, but to go out there, you got to know what you're doing.
Well, you know, the thing is, we had a big band for the show. So, you know, R. Kells was a 5-piece, but we also had a 6-piece horn section and 3 backup singers. So it was a bit of a powerhouse operation. And if I'm totally honest, you know, he played my guitar. So he was using my rig. And I'm not much of a guitarist. So, you know, I know that you can, if things are going a little sideways, you know, you can duck it in the mix a little bit and it'll be fine. But yeah, he knew his stuff. And we ran it in soundcheck and then he totally delivered.
That's where I was heading. I don't know if you heard before you came on. I was saying, like, the engineer, whoever was working the board, had to have had a quick finger if things would have gone sideways for him.
Yeah. But, you know, we knew in soundcheck it'd be fine. It was cool getting to meet him, though. You know, it's like we're such big Raptors fans. And I managed to go to probably like 5 games during the playoffs. And I watched every single one when they were on the road. So, yeah, it was a real thrill. real thrill for me.
With Max Kerman, frontman for Arkells. Again, they're on tour right now, and they were at Budweiser stage over the weekend. That crowd, I mean, we weren't down there, but I was saying just prior to having you on, I must have known 7 or 8 people down there. It sounded like it was rocking anyway. What was it like when Nick Nurse walked out on the stage?
Yeah, honestly, it was one of the loudest things I've ever heard at a show. Like, yeah, you're right. Like, right from the first song, people were ready to go. You know, Saturday night, we couldn't ask for more beautiful weather. Mix things up a little bit, we did this soul review set in the middle of the show where we did like half an hour of our favorite Motown and soul songs, just kind of for fun. But yeah, that was definitely the highlight, I think, of the night for me, and it was probably the loudest moment. Because, you know, anything Raptors related right now just puts people in a good mood.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everyone lit up, yeah.
I love going down to that stage, the amphitheater,
the venue.
I've been going down there forever. I'm sure you have as well, as probably just a music fan, and now you get to play there. Where does Budweiser stage rank for you in terms of venues throughout the country?
Yeah, it's right up there. You know, it's hard to beat on a beautiful summer night. And I think for me, it's like, as a music fan and also somebody, you know, has to think about how you put on a show, it's like the fact that it's right by a GO station, so people from 905 can get there easily. There's a bike path that gets you there. If you want to ride your bike, you can walk there. It, you know, there's so many young people that like live in condos, you know, down there on the West End, that it's such a, I think every year it becomes more and more of like a hot spot. And like people just like, if a show goes up on sale, people just gobble up all the lawn tickets. And even though you're nowhere near the stage, I heard the party on the lawn for our show was like insane. Like people were just like raving up there, which I love to hear.
Yeah. I made a promise. Like last time I was up there, we went to see, I think it was Zac Brown, and my wife was like 7 months pregnant. We're on the grass.
Yeah, and you were high.
No, well, I was just secondary
high, yeah.
Stone,
secondary
basically.
High.
And there were, the average age was about 17 and a half, and they were so greased and smoking so much weed. And I'm like, I can't do that anymore. I can't be hanging out on the grass anymore.
Yeah, you. I guess you have to be like a grown up and like buy tickets and seats.
Right.
But yeah, but for everybody else who wants to get a little debaucherous, you can do that.
Absolutely. Details and tickets can be found at arkellsmusic.com. You guys just announced last week 7 fall shows will be taking place throughout the country. We talk about Guitar Guy all the time, and that's why we've had Nick Nurse on, and we saw that picture of him getting off the plane in Milwaukee, and we spoke with him that day in his hotel room and said, if you guys win a title, you got to come in studio and play the guitar.
Yeah.
And that was 8 wins before the ring, and he said, absolutely. And then after they won, he buckled on us and said, I'm not going to do it.
He chose a better option, though.
He chose a way better option as opposed to being in studio, being up on stage with you guys, but... You are technically Guitar Guy, and we debate this all the time on our show. Like, around the campfire, what is the go-to track? What's the go-to karaoke Guitar Guy song for you?
Oh, good question. You know, I think my favorite, for me personally, is, like, Mr. Jones' Counting Crows. you know, like I learned that as, like, a teenager, and I, like, sang it in my high school band. I love that song. I love The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down by The Band. Those two are my problem.
Ah, old school. Yeah. Can you get a karaoke going on The Band? That's tough, though.
Isn't that Robbie Robertson?
Okay, let me re-ask the question. If you were by the campfire and you were a single 20-something-year-old guy and there were some ladies to impress, what is your go-to then?
Well, I think like going with Sheeran, like Ed Sheeran's probably the move
yes.
This day and age. That's probably the one. You know, maybe John Mayer or something. But
yeah, Body is like Your Wonderland is the go-to.
Kind of yeah.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, he's...
Ed Sheeran is the go-to guitar guy right now.
That is triple gin and tonic material.
Well, you guys are heading overseas soon, right? Like, you're off to Dublin, and I thought I saw Glasgow. Like, that's going to be a different crowd over there, I would assume.
Yeah, we're doing a few weeks over in Europe. It's fun. It's like, you know, the festival is typically on the weekend, so I'm going to plan a little vacation around it. So, yeah, we fly in the UK and Dublin, and then we're up. My lady and I are going to go to Lisbon. Never been there, and then we have to be in Berlin for the following weekend. We're actually playing a wedding in Berlin. Some fan over there asked us to come do it, so we're doing that. And then the final weekend we'll be back in the UK, so it should be good.
Beautiful. And then again, 7 fall shows just announced in Canada. You can find details and tickets online, arkellsmusic.com. Congrats on what was a great show over the weekend, and thanks for doing this, Max. We always appreciate it.
Hey, not to brag for a second, we got to hang with Nick at the end of the night, and he gave me one of four ever made NN baseball hats.
No,
the one that he was wearing on stage. There's only four of them made, and I have one in my apartment right now.
Dude, that's
not true.
That can't be true.
True.
That can't
true.
Be true.
It's true. I love
four
it.
Of them total.
Yeah,
no,
and I got one of them. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is.
Someone told you to say that because it's just not.
We are always looking
honestly,
for free stuff, and we
I'm
want
not much
those
for
hats.
A collector. I'm not a collector's guy. Like I don't really care too much about like possessions. There's like a lot of like band memorabilia over the years. I like, don't know where it is or if it even exists anymore. But this is a prize. Like, this is a prize possession. Right
did
here.
He explain wow. why he's only made four of them and why he won't hand out more? Like, did
well,
he
I
ever
think he
give
said
you that?
His brother designed it. He said, and then people at Nike said, "We'll whip up four of them for you." That's all
nice.
That ever got sorted.
Well, now yeah. that he's won a title, he better get like 4,000 of them.
Yes, 4 million.
Yeah, a lot more than just four.
But they might be on sale at the Pacific Mall. You never know.
Yeah, right.
The letters may not be spelled
it'll
properly.
Be M-M
exactly.
N-N. All right, Max. Great stuff, buddy. Thank you for doing this.
Awesome.
All right, there's Max Kerman, frontman for Arkells.
So he got a hat.
One of only four Nick Nurse specialty hats.
That's a punk. Like he.
Somebody told him to say that.
I know. Because why else would he bring up a random hat that we can't get in? The first, the Kyle Lowry.
Well,
where, there's only
like, hey,
one.
Nick Nurse delivered.
But I will say this. Somebody sent me a message, multiple people. Game might have been four in G State. Someone said, I saw a guy in the crowd with a Kyle Lowry hat. Did you see that?
I saw that, too.
No, you didn't.
It was family members.
But people,
they have family in this, right behind the bench.
People have been sending
you
me.
You saw a hat.
I saw a seven hat. I don't know if it's
but
authentic.
Is that, people were
no
sending
way.
Me a messages saying that that could be tied to Kaepernick.
Yes.
There was some sort of like respect
I don't know
for Kaepernick or whatever because apparently he had a hat like that.
Well, right? He wore number seven.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's just Kyle Lowry. He is number seven, and it's his own thing, Kyle Lowry.
But somebody sent me a medley of prominent athletes wearing the seven hat.
But then why wouldn't you hand those out? Like, that's the thing. If it's not even about you, why wouldn't you be like, hey, let's get the message out, support Cap?
Maybe it's just Kyle Lowry because he's seven. I don't know. But when we were talking about it about a month ago, somebody sent me a medley of pictures. I think LeBron was wearing one. Like there was you know prominent athletes wearing that seven hat.
Well, forget the seven hat. We want a Nick Nurse hat because if Max Kerman has one,
Max is a star. He's a rock star.
I know that, but they mowed our lawn. We're supposed to get Nick in here.
When I first saw his hat, I thought it was there's a golf company. It's Matthews. I forget the name of it, but it's something Matthews. And I was like, oh, he's wearing that golf hat. And then I was like, Nick Nurse. Mm-hmm. I'm like.
How about Nike? We'll send you four. Like, are you for real, dude? This guy's
well,
a head coach in the NBA.
I'm sure he could
here's
say,
four
send,
hats.
Me, send me 12 dozen. Yeah.
It's
and
like calling
send...
up a famous person, calling up an Italian restaurant. I love your meatballs. We'll send you half of one.
Yeah.
What's your address?
I'm pretty
four
sure.
Hats.
That, I'm pretty sure. Maybe that's what they're.
No, it's not four hats. He got 4,000.
They're trying to attain. If you can't get at it, what people are talking about.
Well,
that's what it is.
I think what is important here. He's probably telling everybody. He's probably handed out 400 of these, but everyone he talks to, he goes, "There's only ever been four made."
I think
so. Then you feel better about the hat.
Not
that
believing
you just received.
It. Not true.
I'm telling you, I believe there's only four, and I believe Max got one of them. And three of them are floating around. Nick Nurse's brother has one, and Nick's got two.
Well, if he's not going to play the guitar in studio with us, he better send up three. Because he's got to make it up to us at some point.
I've
we
told
had a
you
binding
this.
Agreement.
I told you that. I think he was sitting there going, we are so far away from the finals right now, I'm not even thinking about it. Yeah, I will come in, and I'll paint your garage. I'll do all of this. And then he started realizing, hey, my team's going to win this thing.
How about guitar guy the night they drove Old Dixie down? By the band. Like, that is not... that doesn't scream, get everyone fired up with karaoke.
Yeah, but...
No, John Mayer, your body is a wonderland. People start gearing down immediately in front of the fire.
Max is a singer. He can nail anything. You got a voice... And just a little background
Malls,
with the guitar.
Play Your Body is a Wonderland.
No, we're not
just,
playing.
You got to listen. You got to hear this.
I've he said, heard it. Everyone's heard it. We know it.
When he said Mr. Jones,
that's a great track.
That is.
Yeah. That's
as soon
a great
as you hear Bubblegum Lips,
that's a great
it's
track.
Just.
All right. Dave Pullen in over. Studio at 5. We'll get into this Yahoo report about Kawhi Leonard. because it's important to go deeper than just the headline. I'm not sure people were going beyond the clickbait.
Because
if you read it, it's not really what it actually is made out to be.
Right.
We'll tell you about that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. John Mayer, Your Body is a Wonderland. Didn't come up. We just had Max Kerman on from Arkells, and he's a guitar guy. And he did, I guess, drop John Mayer's name a little bit.
Yeah, and what do you think? If you can play the guitar, that's your go-to.
But Ed Sheeran is... You talk about a guy who needs a guitar, because Ed Sheeran is not exactly one of the Jonas Brothers, you know?
Like, he needs a bee mask and a guitar.
Do you hear about this new app that is changing the game? And it is terrifying some people.
No.
Terrifying. There's an app. Now, you don't have to use it.
What is it? IcanSingJohnMayer.com?
No, it's an app. It's a dating app that is going to rate you, give you a rating, and then it's going to say, basically, you're a deuce, so this is who you can swipe with.
Oh, no.
You're a whatever.
So it's a ranking app.
It's a ranking, which I think is totally uncalled for, quite frankly.
It's gutless.
So if you're a nickel,
it's gutless.
You can only swipe on a nickel?
Yeah, basically, they're going to start packaging nickels together.
It won't work because everyone's going to be like, I'm not a nickel. How could you say I'm a... Who rates?
Well, the app, I guess they have some sort of...
ranking system?
I guess. I don't know.
They must have a panel.
Algorithm.
They
got an algorithm.
But see, here's an example. Strudwick thinks he's a 9. He's a 5.
Yeah, Strudy's...
You've told me before you're a strong 6.
With the personality, yes.
Oh, no, with the personality, I go way up the charts.
Well, hold on a second.
I'm 6 on looks.
You need a few drinks in you to get the personality going.
Totally. Monday through Friday, I got the personality of a dead mom.
If I'm skinny, I'm a 10, but my weight, I'm...
Well, if I'm skinny, I'm a jockey. What does that mean?
I'm just saying, if I'm 195, I'm a 10.
No, you're not a 10.
I'm a 4.
You're a 4 based on weight.
I think we're all in the mid
range.
We're all happily in relationships here, but we download the app and we try to get a rude awakening.
I'm not doing that. I'm not having somebody tell me I'm a Deuce Bigelow.
Let's
do it.
Because
it's not right.
You know, I'm going to get the lowest rating.
I will, for sure. No, you'll get the best rating.
No, the
app. You're in best shape.
I got big ears and weird hair.
You
like,
got
believe
a tan
me,
going.
Tan. That's just. Weird skin.
I don't know, green skin.
No, I'll gear down and just say, give me a 1.
I'll take a low rating. All of us will.
It's a dangerous app.
It is. I would actually, we should.
As long as our girls think we're a 10, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
I don't think they do.
You
they
can
don't
pick some 10, pigeon. You can pick some pigeon.
They'll tell you they think you're a 10. There's no way my wife thinks I'm a 10. She's not an idiot. I'm not a 10.
You got to be realistic in this world.
You're a 6. Well, a strong 6. Personality, I think, boosts you up to a 7.5.
7.5?
I'll take 5 American with the exchange rate.
There you go.
Maybe get to 6.5.
Yeah, I'll take 5
I think
5
you're
Euros.
An 8 spot, Jamie.
No, 8 out of 20. Right.
Dave Poulin's coming in. Pooley is a 9.5.
Yes, he is.
No, you're wrong there. He's a flat 10.
There you go.
He's rich. Former captain of the Flyers, and he's skinny. He's got the trifecta.
Yeah,
and he's in studio next.